I've been fascinated with the education culture war. If you're a regular listener to Us and Them, you probably picked up on this because it's been the theme of over a half a dozen of our episodes. You may have also picked up that I have a soft spot for Texas. It's not something everyone has.
Just look at Texas, the Lone Star State, in that a lone star is what most people would give Texas on Yelp.
Comedian John Oliver is a witty guy, but I'd give Texas much more than a lone star on Yelp. It's a fantastic place, brimming with diverse culture. But Texas doesn't need me to defend them from comedian jabs. When there is anything in the mainstream media about Texas or education, heaps of people send me links. Not too long ago, my inbox was filled with this clip of Oliver busting on Mary Lou Bruner, an outspoken religious conservative vying for a seat on the Texas State Board of Education.
Let me introduce you to Mary Lou Bruner, a woman who, based on her jacket, I can only assume was a member of the 1996 women's gymnastics team.
On the screen behind Oliver is a photo of Mary Lou sporting a star-spangled red, white, and blue jacket. And it does look like something the U.S. women's gymnastics team wore at the Atlanta Olympic Games. Oliver has a lot of fun with this.
Is she Kerry Strug? I think she's Kerry Strug.
And when he's done joking about her clothing, Oliver sets up his real reason for lampooning this woman.
She's running a successful campaign for a place on the Texas State Board of Education. So let's find out some more about her.
Brennan has recently come under fire online for some passionately stated opinions she holds, including the idea that global warming was made up to promote global socialism and that President Obama paid for a drug addiction in his 20s through homosexual prostitution.
Yeah, you heard that right. She actually accused President Obama of being a gay prostitute. And then the segment featured this brief clip of Mary Lou Bruner connecting the dots for us.
How do people think that people on welfare who also have a drug habit, how do they think they pay for their drugs? Well, they steal, they prostitute themselves.
Say what you will about that woman, I would read any history textbook she had a part in creating. Wait, Teddy Roosevelt fathered an illegitimate child that was half human, half bear. Why did nobody tell me this? Education is fun, I yearn to learn.
Yeah, John, I yearn to learn too. And when it comes to America's culture wars, there's no better learning than deep in the heart of Texas. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting, this is Us and Them. It's the podcast where we tell stories from America's cultural divides. I'm Trey Kay.
A state board of education race that has gained national attention is now heading for a runoff.
On this Us and Them episode, we're heading back to Texas to check in on a place where the culture wars seem to play out in perpetuity, the Texas State Board of Education. Back in March, Mary Lou Bruner got the most votes in the primary election. She was also featured in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and in the UK's Daily Mail. Most of the headlines focused on the 69-year-old retired teacher's salacious claims about our commander-in-chief. But she has many more provocative claims that she's posted on her Facebook page. And these views have attracted attention. For example, she wrote that the Democratic Party had John F. Kennedy killed, that the United Nations hatched a plot to reduce the world's population, and that dinosaurs have biblical roots. John Oliver also had fun with this.
She's previously written that the dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark, but went extinct afterward because, and I quote, they may have been babies and not able to reproduce. It might make sense to take the small dinosaurs onto the Ark instead of the ones bigger than a bus.
Aside from the amusement of Mrs. Bruner's views, one might think, this is all really interesting, but I don't live in Texas. Why should I give a red-hot damn who gets elected to the Texas State Board of Education? That's a good question. The Texas Board of Ed has historically been a bellwether for determining the direction of the nation's education. That's because Texas purchases books for over 5 million students, an order that dwarfs those placed by most other states. In the past, when it comes to the content in textbooks, as Texas goes, so goes the nation. Is that still true? Later in the show, we're going to check into this. Another reason to care about education in Texas, those 5 million children that Texas educates every year, will soon be 5 million adults. Some of them may come to live in other states, maybe your state. If Bruner wins the general election, she'll be one of 15 board members entrusted with guiding our country's second largest public school system. It's a big job, one that we should take seriously. Throughout all the media buzz over Mary Lou Bruner, I kept thinking about a conversation I had with historian Jonathan Zimmerman. He's written extensively about culture wars and education. I interviewed him last year at a book launch. That's why it's kind of noisy in the background.
The most poisonous idea on the land is somebody that disagrees with you is either morally warped or ignorant. The people that say that Barack Obama was born in Indonesia, they're ignorant, right? And yet, I would say that even in that case, I need to understand why they have fixated on this idea so strongly.
Zimmerman says when a person is observably and provably wrong, they're not wrong about everything. Nobody is.
And my job as a scholar and citizen is to figure out where this idea fits in their worldview.
Despite the range and scope of her gobsmacking comments, I figured Mary Lou Bruner couldn't be wrong about everything. An outspoken religious and conservative woman like Bruner is like catnip to news and social media. But I'd like to better understand her worldview before dismissing her as a nut job.
Well, my name is Mary Lou Bruner. I live in Mineola, Texas, and I'm running for the State Board of Education for Texas.
Bruner has a master's degree in special education. Over her 36-year career, she worked as a teacher, counselor, and educational diagnostician for Texas Public School System before retiring in 2009. She agreed to speak with me only if I'd post an unedited version of our conversation on the show's website, so you can find that at usandthempodcast.com. I was expecting Mary Lou to be tough to talk to, the type of person who doesn't suffer fools lightly. But that's not what I got.
I'm a country girl. I was raised in a small town, and I have values that country people have, and I see the world like they see it.
I felt like I was speaking with a sweet granny. That said, she didn't back off the claims she made on her Facebook page about President Obama being a prostitute. She says she posted that the night the Supreme Court ruled in favor of making same-sex marriages legal.
If you remember that night, he put the rainbow colors on the White House, the People's White House. He put the rainbow colors to show his approval of the opinion of the Supreme Court. Well, maybe the reason he shows support for the homosexuals is because he very possibly was one himself, because he's told us he was on drugs. He's admitted it in speeches. But he's also told us that he was very poor, and he was a college student. I know what that's like. You don't have a lot of money when you're going to college. His family was on welfare. So if you just put two and two together, there's two ways that people on welfare pay for drugs. They prostitute themselves or they steal.
It's one thing to claim that Obama was born in Indonesia, but prostituting himself to pay for drugs? Obviously, Mary Lou had nothing to support this claim. But I wasn't there to fight or laugh at her. I was there because I thought she can't be wrong about everything. I wanted to give her an opportunity to say something that wasn't wrong. I figured the best approach was to give her a lot of space to articulate her views and say exactly what she means. You say that you want to get back to basics. What exactly does that mean, getting back to basics?
Well, I mean teaching the things that made America the great nation that it became. The basic values that I'm talking about are teaching the children reading, writing, arithmetic, and not this fuzzy math that the kids don't even understand and the parents can't even help them with it.
Fuzzy math. Mary Lou's referring to the Common Core math standards, something we've looked into before in Us and Them. This might actually be an area where I can agree with Mary Lou. The new Common Core approaches are nothing like the way math was taught when I was a student, and I felt helpless when my son has asked for guidance on his math homework. But where Mary Lou and I differ is that I'm not certain that all new math approaches are bad simply because the parents don't understand the concepts. Could it be that Americans, both students and their parents, might need to up their game with math? But then again, I do understand Mary Lou's frustration. Texas is one of only a handful of states that has not adopted any aspect of the Common Core state standards. Mary Lou wants to make sure that Texas continues to steer clear of them.
When I go into a crowd like I went to the rodeo the other night, passing out my brochures to everybody, the first question, and maybe the only question many of them ask me, is, do you like Common Core? And if I say, no, I don't like Common Core at all, that's it. That's all I need to hear. I'm voting for you. And they give me a thumbs up.
If you don't have kids in school, you may have heard of Common Core, but you might not know exactly what it is. Back in 2009, there was an initiative to establish educational standards that were consistent in all 50 states. They called them Common Core standards. Advocates for Common Core say national standards provide students a level playing field. But some parents and political activists say Common Core is the federal government meddling in local affairs. Some even see Common Core as Orwellian government indoctrination. It seems Mary Lou falls into this last category.
I think it has been moving us for many years in the direction of socialism. And I'll even make a stronger statement than that. It has been moving us in the direction of communism.
Mary Lou says in her day, academics were focused on individual learning with fact-based skills and research.
But the curriculum now, it rejects transmission of knowledge. It's constructivism. It's group activities, cultural Marxism, social, political, and economic justice is what they teach. It's subjective. It has high school courses becoming largely vocational. They're trying to train a workforce. That's the goal of Common Core curriculum.
Mary Lou loses me here. How does Common Core reject the transmission of knowledge? Quite frankly, I didn't feel that she understood what she was talking about. I mean, isn't it possible to teach social, political, and economic justice without it being socialist or Marxist? And why is the goal of training a workforce a bad thing? Part of our education system's goal is to train young citizens to be of service to society, right? As she stumbled through her Common Core talking points, she eventually landed on something that she really seems to believe deeply.
You know, I know it sounds radical, but it's the same thing Hitler did. I mean, if we don't study history, we will repeat history. And if our country is doing the same thing that Hitler did in Germany, well, what are we going to think that the results were going to be?
Oh, boy, the Hitler comparison. Man, if I were to give Mary Lou some unsolicited advice, I'd let her know about Godwin's Law. If you don't know what this is, check it out on Wikipedia. It's an internet adage initiated by author Mike Godwin that asserts when someone makes a hyperbolic comparison to Hitler or the Nazis, that's usually a sign that the conversation is over and the person who made the reference has undermined their credibility. But Hitler references aside, it's clear Mary Lou doesn't like Common Core. And she's not the only one. It's really controversial. The whole thing started as a bipartisan initiative, and it still seems to unite liberals and conservatives. They're united against Common Core, or at least Common Core testing. That's why some states, like Texas, have opted out. But Mary Lou and her supporters believe there is a stealth campaign to teach these standards in Texas under other names.
They've been bringing in other curriculums. As soon as we figure out what they're doing, they just change the name of it and change it up a little bit, and they keep on doing it.
Mary Lou considers Common Core and curriculums based on Common Core to be a catch-all boogeyman. When I asked her what bothered her most about Common Core, she cited the teaching of evolution, sex education, and presenting homosexuality as an acceptable way of life.
little children as young as 4 years old are being shown and read picture books. In those little picture books that the teacher reads to them, they're being taught that two mommies is just as good as a mother and a father. And they are being taught, if you don't like being a boy, it's all right. Why don't you try being a girl for a while? See if you like that. You might like that better. This is where our society is going, and Texas people do not want their children to go there.
It's true that many states have initiatives to be more inclusive to LGBT people, but there are no such programs in Texas. As a matter of fact, the state's law for HIV/AIDS prevention materials are required to state that, quote, homosexual conduct is not an acceptable lifestyle and is a criminal offense under the penal code. But none of that has anything to do with Common Core standards. Common Core and curriculums based on Common Core only pertain to math and reading, not science or social studies, or in this case, health class. Mary Lou also objects to how climate change is taught as fact.
It's weather, that's what it is. At this moment, the Democrats are trying to pass laws, even by executive order if they have to make it illegal to say anything negative about global warming or climate change. Now, you just think about that a minute. If the federal government is willing to pass a law that said that they can lock you up if you say anything bad about global warming, by golly, our country's in trouble. I mean, why can't we say something bad about global warming? If we're wrong, we're just wrong. They're afraid somebody will believe us.
Well, I guess my feeling on that, Mary Lou, is that if the government were actually saying that, I think that I would join hands with you and stand
up
and protest.
They are saying it. They are saying it.
I don't know when I'm hearing them say it. I don't know if such an initiative.
You need to research it. They're saying it right now. President Obama is considering writing an executive order that will make it illegal for me to use my First Amendment right to stand up before a crowd and say global warming is a hoax. Now, that is preposterous.
I would think that the ACLU would come and grab your hand and say,
they won't help us. The ACLU hates Christians. They will not help us.
I would think that they would grab your hand and say,
no, they won't.
That your right to free speech has been violated, and they would challenge that in the courts. But that's what I think. But maybe you're right. In so much of my work on the Us and Them podcast, I've gotten a lot of praise for giving an empathetic listen to people with all sorts of views. But in this interview with Mary Lou, I was faced with a dilemma. She's in a heated battle for a Board of Ed seat, and she's being ridiculed at every turn. I found it difficult to affirm Professor John Zimmerman's assertion that people aren't wrong about everything. But she seemed provably wrong about most of the things that she said. It's not what I wanted. I was hoping she might say something that would cause a listener to think, you know, I thought she sounded nuts calling President Obama a gay prostitute. But when she said this about this, man, she definitely had a point. But I'm sad to say nothing even close to this happened in my two-hour interview with her. You can go to our website at usandthempodcast.com, where we've posted a link of the complete interview. Listen to it for yourself. Coming up, we'll hear from one of Mary Lou's supporters, and we'll learn if Texas still dominates the content in our nation's textbooks. We'll also hear from the man Mary Lou hopes to replace.
When I say crazy, I mean beliefs that are outside of the mainstream or not healthy in a public education context.
I'm Trey Kay. And this is Us and Them, which is supported in part by the Charleston Gazette-Mail, featuring two editorial pages expressing both progressive and conservative views. Find it online at wvgazettemail.com. And if you are interested in advertising on this podcast, send us an email at advertising@usandthempodcast.com. Over the past year, we've covered the culture war battles around education from a number of perspectives. On our website's homepage, usandthempodcast.com, you can find a link to other episodes that we've produced: The Great Textbook War, New Math, Textbook Watchdogs, The Church Lady, and The Talk, which is about sex education. If you feel inclined, tell us about education culture wars that are taking place in your community. Reach us on the feedback page at usandthempodcast.com, where you can also find links to our Facebook and Twitter feeds. So what I'm left with is a big question. Do the 48% of voters in East Texas who checked Mary Lou Bruner's box on Election Day share her extreme worldview?
I think you have to define extreme. Would we be extreme to New Yorkers? Probably. But would they be extreme to us? Sure. You know, if they don't hold those same values, yeah.
That's Tammy Blair. She leads the Cherokee County Republican Party in Texas, and she's endorsed Mary Lou.
Mary Lou is like a lot of concerned Americans and Texans at this point that are saying, wait, just we need to slow down and we need to look at what are we doing and what are we trying to accomplish.
Tammy says that grassroots activists like Bruner and her aren't polished politicians who plan to run for office. Neither of them have been particularly careful about what they've put on social media.
You know, the thing about it is if you are planning ahead, you're being careful what you're posting. We didn't. And, you know, so Mary Lou didn't expect for a reporter to go back through 5 years worth of postings on Facebook.
Mary Lou pretty much feels the same way.
Those Facebook postings are just one little dot in my whole lifetime. And they're controversial, but I still don't think I've done anything wrong. I have a First Amendment right to say what I want to say.
Mary Lou's opponent, Kevin Ellis, sees it differently.
The State Board of Education does not need to be an embarrassment to the state of Texas, and comments like she makes can turn it into the laughingstock.
Kevin's a chiropractor and president of the school board in Lufkin, Texas. He also claims that he's running on conservative principles, but he says Mary Lou is trying to win the election by spreading fear and hate. On Tuesday, May 24th, they face off in a runoff election. The winner will replace this guy.
I am Thomas Ratliff, State Board of Education member from District 9, Northeast Texas.
Ratliff is a self-described moderate Republican, and he's the raspberry seed in the dentures of people who share Mary Lou Bruner's views and values. They classify him as Rhino, Republican in name only. I met Ratliff back in 2012, after he'd served on the State Board of Education for about a year. I asked him why he ran for the seat, and he told me because he, quote, wanted to take it back from the crazy people. Do you remember saying that?
I don't doubt it. And let me be perfectly clear. When I say crazy, I mean from a political perspective. I don't want to be insensitive to anybody with actual mental illness issues. But when I say crazy, I mean have beliefs that are outside of the mainstream or not healthy in a public education context.
Back in 2010, Ratliff defeated a dentist named Don McElroy, who's been a guest on this podcast several times. McElroy was the former chair of the State Board of Ed and an ardent challenger of the theory of evolution.
Don, who was a lovely man and I'm sure a wonderful husband and father and grandfather and a great Sunday school teacher, but he just really had a hard time deferring to experts on pretty much anything. In fact, he most infamously said, somebody's got to stand up to the experts.
I disagree with these experts. Somebody's got to stand up to experts that are just, I don't know why they're doing it. They're wondering.
If that doesn't qualify you to be part of the crazy caucus, I don't know what does. You know, when we're overseeing an education system for 5 million kids, and we've got academic experts and pedagogy experts and subject matter experts and all these resources at our disposal. And he says, not only do I disagree with them, but we've got to stand up to them and ignore them or specifically go to bat against them. That to me is the height of arrogance. And I, you know, kind of in a slang way, it's just crazy. Why would you do that?
Well, do you think in the time that you've been on the board that you have succeeded taking back the Board of Education from the crazy people?
I think the board is in the healthiest place it's been in a decade.
Thomas Ratliff says this because despite their differences, the board members seem more committed to working in the common interest of Texas children and less focused on fighting ideological battles. He says that one of the best indicators of this healthy state is the fact that the board's activity hasn't generated a lot of national headlines. That is, until all this recent hubbub over Mary Lou Bruner. He says if Mary Lou gets elected, she'll be a, quote, human rain delay to the progress the board has made over the past 5 or 6 years. But then why are 48% of East Texans calling for a more extreme conservative voice?
Well, from what I understand, the Tea Party movement put out what are called slate cards, and they blasted it in emails and whatever else all across the area saying, this is who we suggest you vote for. And she was on that slate card. And so by the virtue of the fact that she was on their list, she has now been given the definition or the adjective of conservative. Now, one adjective can mean 4,000 different things to people.
Ratliff says that the district Mary Lou is running to represent is huge, with about 1.6 million people. He says most voters don't know much about the candidates. They just want to know one thing. Is she conservative?
I think the average voter in a state board of education race is a prime example of a low information voter. You know, I'm afraid it doesn't get much deeper than that sometimes.
So just how much impact will District 9's candidate have on the State Board of Education and the rest of the country? If we trust headlines, a lot. There's been a lot of reporting on how the Texas Board of Education still wields wide influence beyond the state's borders.
Once upon a time, that was the case.
That's David Anderson, a veteran of the textbook industry and a former curriculum director at the Texas Education Agency. He says the reason Texas no longer has so much influence over education is because its market power has diminished. Remember, Texas is one of the holdouts from Common Core, and the Common Core textbook market is huge.
Publishers are going to align their national programs to those standards because the market is so large.
But again, Common Core standards were created only for reading and mathematics. There are no Common Core standards for social studies or science or American history. And some think Texas's buying power still has some influence over content in those subjects. That might be another reason why we should care whether or not Mary Lou Bruner gets elected to the Texas State Board of Ed. Take Mary Lou's back-to-basics approach to American history.
America is the greatest country in the history of the world, and our textbooks do not encourage patriotism, and they are insinuating that the children should be ashamed of their country because, you know, we had slavery in the beginning. Well, we all know that. That's not something we're proud of. But at the end of the day, we need to teach our children to be proud of our country, because if you're not proud of something, you don't take care of it.
Some people might say, including myself, that teaching your children about slavery and the shames of our past makes them more likely to work for an equitable future. But social studies curriculum is probably the most volatile subject the Texas State Board of Education deals with, and many of the battles are over how the Civil War is taught. Mary Lou is concerned that Texas children are learning about the conflict from textbooks written by Northern historians. On her Facebook page, she claimed that historians waited until all the people who were alive during the Civil War and Restoration were dead before they told the story the way they wanted it told. Is that what you believe?
I sure do. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't believe it. I do believe that the North thinks we're stupid. Because we have an East Texas accent, they think we're stupid.
Well, tell me about that. So now that you've put your hat in the ring for the Texas State Board of Education, are you saying that you're getting some negative responses from people? Tell me about that.
You ought to see my email.
And before Mary Lou lets you know what's in her email, If you're listening with children or if you're sensitive to explicit language, you might want to fast forward for about a minute.
I'm being called every filthy name that you can possibly think of. It's so vulgar and so vile that it's just indescribable. I get probably 25 to 50 of those a day, just calling me horrible names and insinuating that I have sex with a donkey and that I suck his dick until he ejaculates in my mouth and stuff. Filthy, just vulgar, just as bad as you can possibly imagine.
Oh my goodness, that sounds horrible.
Well, it's horrible. It really is. And some of it is, it's getting very close to threatening when they say, I pray every night that you die before you get elected. Or I think one of them might have even said, I pray that someone kills you before you're elected.
This was the most jarring part of my interview with Mary Lou. I really felt for her at this moment. More than any of the wild things that she said, her description of this hate mail captures the true ugliness of today's us-and-them culture war battles. The cycle begins as it always does. Someone makes a provocative claim on their Facebook page or Twitter feed. An angry reaction follows. What disturbs me is when the discourse gets to such a low point that an observant Christian woman is induced to violate her values by repeating the violent, abusive language people are directing at her. All parties seem like hogs wallowing in the mud here. But this kind of anger and vitriol seems standard issue today. Every year, there emerges a new standard bearer for conspiracy theories. Mary Lou Bruner is just the latest self-appointed watchtower sentry. If we can accept the fact that we will always have crazy ideas, conspiracy theories, what have you, perhaps we can also accept that we have a choice in how we react to those ideas and those who hold them. Suggesting that an old woman be killed or forced to engage in sex with a donkey just because she holds baseless, slanderous views doesn't quite resonate as an expression of respectful American values. Our nation was founded on the freedom that we can say what we believe, even if it amounts to spreading a specious idea that our president was a homosexual prostitute. God bless America. You've been listening to Us and Them. This show was produced by Mitch Hanley, Lori Stern, and me, Trey Kay, and was edited by Ibby Caputo. Thanks to Rick Holter from KERA in Dallas, and David Alvarez from KUT in Austin. And special thanks to KERA reporter Christopher Conley for his extraordinary help in putting this episode together. Michael Lipton and Tristan Lozow wrote and performed the Us and Them theme music, additional music by Dr. Turtle and Michael Howard. Mark Lerner designed our logo. Rita Krasoffi and Mariana Trofimova designed our website at usandthempodcast.com and provide us with images for the web. Our brand spanking new intern is Nicholas Tantillo. The marvelous people at West Virginia Public Broadcasting make Us and Them possible. So do grants from the West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation. And we're hoping you'll consider supporting Us and Them by going to our website at usandthempodcast.com and making a donation of any amount. We could really use your help. A dollar, $5, any amount would help support this podcast. Thank you so much for your consideration. For the next Us and Them, when Troy Glover moved back to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, he found that his neighborhood was starting to look a little unfamiliar.
Aaron used to always come to the basketball court and shoot around with us. And it was probably the first time that I had ever played basketball with a white person. And so we used to intentionally foul Aaron like super hard just to see what he would do and how tough he actually was. After one day of playing, we decided that he's definitely not coming back. And like the next day he came back and he played basketball some more with us. We continued to foul him hard for a while, but after that we continued to build a relationship, and eventually invited us to his home for dinner, and we probably said no the first 5 times. But after building more relationships, I eventually went over, myself and some friends. And now Aaron is one of my closest friends.
On the next episode, we set out to bridge the gap between neighborhood past and neighborhood present. Please join us.